This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
This is Brew News with Peter Parker,
McLean Westbrook,
and Dane Tipman.
This episode sponsored by Vladimir Putin's cranberry sauce.
The Bruin Coffee Cave has been gathering a fantastic amount of donations to our local South Coast Humane Society. Tips to the cave that began between November and December will be donated to this organization.
The Humane Society, located on Railroad Street, is a 501c3 nonprofit who, according to their Facebook page, are dedicated to each and every animal that they take in. The Humane Society houses and socializes abandoned animals and adopts them out to forever homes. The animals staying at the Humane Society receive veterinary care, playtime, walks for dogs, and all animals that are taken in are spayed or neutered. The Humane Society also provides implanted microchips for all dogs. These microchips, typically implanted in the thick skin of the back of a dog's neck, are not remote tracking devices. Instead, these microchips allowed for quick identification of the animal. Typically, the chip is merely a serial number that can be searched in a database, where information is kept up to date on the animal's name, owner, and possibly even important medical information. The Humane Society also provides services to the public, such as the occasional low-cost veterinary clinic, dog nail clippings, and education about your animal friends. The Humane Society supports itself through donations, such as the donation our Bruins Coffee Cave will make in late December, and through sales at their Humane Society thrift store on the highway in Harbor. So if you're in the mood for a warm brew of coffee or tea this chilly season, and you're a student or staff of the Brookings Harbor High School, support your school and Humane Society by buying some Bruins coffee.
Delicious Cape Blanco cranberries are back again this holiday season. The Brookings Harbor High School Youth Transition Program, led by Michelle Pruden, has partnered once more with Cape Blanco Cranberry Farm to create, both wholeberry and jellied cranberry sauces. The cranberries sold to our school at a discount are as local as it gets and organic. Local volunteer and school garden coordinator Lynette McPherson used the cranberries to teach students how to make incredible, gooey, warm, and tasty cranberry swirl bread as well.
All told, the Youth Transition Program sold many 6- and 9-ounce jars of cranberry sauce to school staff over the last month to fundraise, and 30 participating students took jars of the sauce home for free to their families over the holidays. Mrs. Pruden's team also donated 75 jars of the tasty sauce to her local Meals on Wheels program. If you didn't know, the Meals on Wheels program operates out of the Checo Activity Center here in Brookings. Thank you to Mary and Ron Puhl of Cape Blanco Cranberries for selling your fruit to our Youth Transition program so that we could make this happen.
The Brookings Harbor High School robotics team, 4110, had an outstanding fundraiser at Fred Meyer last weekend. Don't take our word for it. Let's listen in and see what the students and mentors have to say on the scene.
This is field reporter Dane Tipman out front of the Fred Meyer Shopping Center. And outside this door, we have the robotics team, 4110 out of Brookings Harbor High School, demonstrating their donated police bomb disposal robot, which has been decommissioned, folks. No longer active as a bomb disposal bot. Now serving as a demonstration bot for the team. I'm going to see if I can't get some interviews from some of our intrepid team volunteers and maybe the team mentors as well.
Hey, we're out here Fred Meyer today trying to raise a little money to defer costs for FIRST Robotics Travel. It's quite a spendy program, and we're trying to bring down the cost of travel for the kids in our program.
What are they doing to bring down costs?
The students are selling seas candy to people coming out of the store.
Hi, this is Tamlin Salander. I'm here with the Brookings Harbor Robotics team. We are here because we are fundraising for a robotics competition that we do in January, and yeah, we're doing pretty well so far. I'm on the robotics team because I'm taking the robotics class, and it seemed really interesting, and I've been wanting to do it for a while. Actually, Sasha guilt-tripped me into it last year, so, yeah.
Hi, I am Jeremy Pettiner, and I am out here in what's starting to rain and while selling candy, taking a break and eating General So from Fred Meyer's. You can get it today for about $6 a box.
Wait.
Pretty good price.
Wait, you got General So for
six? I paid under $5 last night.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you get? Orange chicken?
No, I got two sauce.
Book!
Hi, this is Dave Henry, and I joined robotics because I thought it'd be a cool, like, after-school activity, and it also gave me something to do, and it was just really fun.
Hi, this is Teresa Wright, Mr. Suter's wife with the robotics team. Thank you so much to the community for reaching out and helping us with our organization. The kids are really excited to compete this year in FIRST Robotics, and we really appreciate the support of the community. Thank you very much. And thank you to Fred Meyer's for allowing us to do the store doorway activity to sell our candy. We really appreciate it. You've been really very supportive of our program. Thank you.
Thank you again to Fred Meyer and to Ms. Tuttle, who helped us get the paperwork in to fundraise there. Our robotics team is doing well on fundraising, but our work must go on. As we know down here in the southwesternmost corner of the state, it takes a long time and a lot of money to move teams from playoff to playoff and from competition to competition. The same goes for our fantastic robotics team. We've got to haul our crew of safety officers, robot pilots, programmers, and mentors a good distance to get to our competitions, and we'll keep on raising funds to make it happen. Stay tuned to hear about our events, and if you are one of the incredible community members that would like to donate to our team and help us along, email Gary Suter or Dane Tippmann. Find their email addresses on the high school website staff list.
Did you know that the Brookings Harbor High School has an Interact Club? Interact is the age 14 to 18 arm of the Rotary International Club, which itself is an international service organization, according to a Rotary-produced brochure shared during Clubs Week. Interact clubs carry out local service projects such as fundraisers, blood drive support, and benefit concerts. Our Interact club meets every Monday during lunch in Miss Pruden's room, 208.
Here are the highlights from the most recent public service announcement from the desk of our superintendent, Sean Gallagher. The superintendent reminds us that all drivers on the road must be particularly watchful for student pedestrians during holiday breaks. People crossing the road should never cross without looking both ways and assessing the road safety. He recommends that if you see young people near any road, consider slowing down to more easily respond to any unexpected events. His other holiday safety reminders include singing the birthday song all the way through while washing your hands. The birthday song is as long in seconds as the time that a person should continually wash their hands to remove the majority of bacteria. This helps prevent the spread of germs or illnesses. Further, Mr. Gallagher suggests that people get into the habit of covering their coughs with an elbow, a Kleenex, or some other way to prevent the spreading of germs with others. Finally, he wishes everyone a safe and wonderful holiday season to ensure that every student can succeed at the Brookings Harbor School District.
And that's it for
this week's Bruin News.
Okay. Hi, this is Steve Harrington. I live here in Brookings, Oregon, and local musician who just starting to do a little bit of recording besides the live performances. And I'd just like to encourage you Bruins high schoolers to, if you're doing music, for goodness sakes, you need to get recorded. You need to hear what you sound like recorded so you can be excited about other people hearing you. So if you're interested in doing some recording so you can see how you sound for yourself and whether you'd like to share that with others, then talk to the Bruins Radio Club.
This is McLean Westbrook.
And Peter Parker.
Interviewing Mr. Dane Tippmann of Brookings Harbor High School.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Yes, Mr. Tippmann, how long have you worked at Brookings Harbor High School as a teacher? Or as a How long have you been a staff member at Brookings Harbor High School, and could you describe what your role has been?
Sure. I began in February of 2013, working at the Azalea Middle School as a part-time computer technician. And that lasted about 3 months until I was brought on as until I was brought on as a full-timer. I showed that I could fulfill a need for the school district to support the increasingly growing level of technology at our schools.
And how has your role changed since then?
Well, my role expanded from only working during the normal school hours to being a year-round employee. That means that I also work during summers and during the majority of most breaks. Obviously, all year-round employees still get certain holidays off. But there's quite a lot for a school to do with its technology and its computers over the summer break. That's when computer labs can be cleaned out, updated. It's when teacher computers can be repaired and maintained. It's when we can install new technology or just practice on the existing technology and maintain our skill level. My job further changed when I started to step into the teaching role a little bit. I began by just teaching one class during the year of an information technology class, and that expanded. The school entrusted me with teaching a few more classes in this current year, where now I teach an information technology class, an advanced IT class, and the computer science class as well.
What made you come to the Brookings Harbor School District? Did you grow up here?
Well, I'm a proud native of the Del Kerr area. I grew up in Smith River Elementary School is the school I went to, and I graduated from the Del Norte County High School. Don't hold that against me.
Californians.
Did a lot of shopping up at Fred Meyer, again, kind of avoiding the California sales tax. Sorry, California, but my folks and I would come up to Fred Meyer to shop.
Libertarian, huh?
And then we...
Where'd you go to college?
Oh, I did not go to college, actually. I'm not a college graduate. I've taken a few college classes, but I do not have a degree. I qualified for a teaching license based on my career experience. I have a career technical education license, which allows me to teach topics within my skill set, but only within my skill set. I can't go and teach a math class or a language arts class with my current license.
Do you regret?
Well, you can. You'd just be really bad at it.
I'd be decent at it, I think, but higher level math classes, I would not be able to handle that.
Do you regret not going to college?
No.
So if you didn't go to college, what did you do after high school?
When I was 17 and a half, right as I was graduating from high school in 2005, I wasn't quite sure where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do, and I thought, well, you know what? There's a career field where someone tells you what you're going to do and where you're going to do it and when and what time you wake up.
Let other people make decisions for you.
Let somebody else.
Because you're too lazy to make them themselves.
Well, I don't know if it was laziness, but, you know, I was 17 and a half. I was uncertain, so I thought, well, this is a possible path for me. My other alternative at the time, what I was imagining, and again, I was young, I was going to go to HSU, Humboldt State University, for some kind of English degree because I kind of liked writing, but I had no solid plans. I was accepted to HSU. I could have got little scholarships and so on, but I would have grown up into a wildly different person if I had gone to live in Arcata and get an English degree instead of going into the military, like I did eventually do. In order to join at the time when I was 17 and a half, I had to have a waiver from my parents because normally you have to be 18 in order to join. But because I was just in that right age range, I got a waiver. And you can imagine that took a little convincing of Mama to let her baby boy go off into the Army. But I did. There was a desire then for soldiers, and there's definitely a need for recruiting. There was no drawdown of forces at the time, so it wasn't difficult for me to get in. I had a good ASVAB score at the time. I had an ASVAB score of 87, I believe, maybe 89. I can't remember exactly. I had a good SAT score as well.
As someone who did not graduate from college themselves and instead went to the military, do you feel that too much emphasis is being placed on college as a post-secondary option for high school students?
I would say that our Brookings Harbor High School does a fine job of sharing the different post-secondary options out there. There is definitely an emphasis, there's definitely an interest in encouraging students to go to college at our Brookings Harbor School District. That's a matter of public record, that's obvious. But the school doesn't give students, in my opinion, the impression that that's the only option.
I see discussions of, especially with like post-secondary bingo and other post-secondary informational activities, that they do share that there are other options, trade school, Job Corps, the military, and just vocational training and apprenticeships. Those are all shared. But it's very clear that there is an interest in getting students to explore colleges and at least look at those options. I'm of the personal opinion, well, really, it's a verifiable fact that college is a pretty expensive endeavor in some cases. Federal aid notwithstanding, it's spendy. And it's also a little scary sometimes for young kids to move off to some school somewhere where they're surrounded by their peers. They have a little less of a support network. They may not necessarily be going home to their parents who can continue to talk to them and provide support. Instead, they're going to a dorm room where they are staying with a peer. Or they are staying with family or even friends in some sort of house where maybe they're paying rent. Now they've got to get a job and so on. That can be pretty scary in addition to the worries about student loan debt or needing to repay some of those loans.
So after you got out of the military and got married, you just came back here because that's where you grew up, or what, feeling homesick?
Well, I know I've always liked the area quite a bit. I mean, I grew up with the weather. I grew up with the area. I grew up with our stores, with our parks, with our streets. And this is a very familiar place for
me. With our trees.
With our trees, yeah. I saw the job opportunity at the school district, as I mentioned, in early 2013. And I had been learning about computers and information technology. At the time, I had the CompTIA A+ certification under my belt, which certifies me as a computer technician, says, hey, you know this, just like a plumber certification or plumber's license, I guess you could say. So I thought, well, I've got qualifications for this. It was part-time, so I could explore the career field and see what I thought of it. And I thought, well, I should go for it. I should give it a try. So I did. I had an interview with the then principal of the middle school, Cheryl Lipsky. Mr. Jason Fulton was one of my interviewers, as well as Chris Schofield, who remains the technology director of the Brookings Harbor School District. And I feel like I did a decent job. Mr. Fulton was wearing a button-down shirt very similar to my own. I made some hammy kiss-up joke like, oh, nice shirt. And I did pretty well. It's a little awkward, but it wasn't too bad.
Make sure to kiss up to the person you're interviewing is basically.
You know, I don't know. It was a risk. It was a risky venture, but he smiled at me. He shook my hand, so I feel like it did well. I don't know what his memories are. He was always a professional. He never told me what he thought of the interview. Mr. Fulton, I mean. But I feel like I did decently. And also to submit my resume, I went into the high school, which is where Mr. Schofield's office was at the time, and I asked to see Mr. Schofield because I wanted to deliver my resume to him personally. And I remember it was one of his basketball team girls who said, Scofy, someone's here to see you. I remember that always stuck in my head, Scofy, as like a nickname. I've never called him Scofy. I will never call him Scofy. But that was an interesting way. So I went in there, shook his hand. I think I was wearing like a white t-shirt that had a stain on it. I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe that's just my memory. But I always recommend whenever you're going to give somebody a resume, you know, get up in there, shake their hand, smile at them, tell them you're interested in working for them. I think that really goes a long way. In this electronic age, it's so easy to just hit a submit button and send off your resume instead. I feel like that in-person strong handshake really makes an impact.
Now, obviously, you've gone more from working with adults in your time as a computer technician.
Yes.
To teaching classes and working more with kids of high school age. How would you describe how you work and interact with students and how you treat them and how they treat you?
It was the worst decision of his life.
This all started thanks to a former student, Ethan Hawksford. He really began my interest in teaching students about technology. He was one of the first student TAs of the tech department. And a TA is normally a teacher's assistant. The TA is normally a teacher's assistant. He was a technician's assistant. And Mr. Hawksford was so interested in the field, he wanted to. He really drove for it. He came and talked to us. And I really respected that drive, and I wanted to give him the education that he deserved. Normally, as a TA, you just do stapling, paper sorting, and so on. You do important jobs. You do support the school. But usually, there isn't so much education involved. You get some office skills, which are handy. But for Mr. Hoxford, it was a technical education. We wanted to provide him with something useful. Hey, this is how you put a computer together. This is what you do when a computer does this, how you diagnose problems. And I felt that teaching someone those skills is pretty valuable. And obviously, I feel strongly about technology and learning about technology. It's a good career field. And it is not a career field that is shrinking. It is not going the way of training horses and fixing wagon wheels and picking fruit by hand. Technology is starting to take over those fields. And if I can, in a small public high school in the southwesternmost corner of Oregon, teach students these technical skills, then I feel like I have an obligation to do so, to kind of prepare them a little bit for it. And teaching students about technology is very different from working on technology. It's an interesting field, for sure.
And obviously now you're involved in community radio. How'd that happen?
I enjoy volunteer work. I always have. Community service is very important to me. And at one point, I was looking for new volunteer opportunities, and I was speaking with Scott Clapson, who works for the CHETCO Activity Center. And he suggested I attend a Curry Coast Community Radio board meeting and talk about what I could possibly do for them as a technical volunteer. And that's how that started. I had already known one of the board members, Tom Bozak, who was also on the Parks and Recreation Committee. I'd gone to a couple of committee meetings at the time. But it was my first introduction to that group and what I could provide for them. So I started out as a technical advisor, trying to help them set up computers and servers for what they do. And that evolved into actually recording audio, editing audio, and then producing shows. And it really got started with Powerful Poetry, which is one of the first KCIW school-based shows. That began with the cooperation of Tom Bozak and the English teacher and poetry aficionado, Dr. Michelle Mitchell Faust. And Powerful Poetry was a great start for us, and that's how we really kind of got into it. Recording interviews, recording poetry. We still have a powerful poetry segment of the Bruin Radio show that we bring back from time to time when poetry is available. From there, we moved into something called Kudos for Kids, which was a partnership with KCRE. That was started with the help of Nancy Raskauskas-Coons, the district's public information officer. Kudos for Kids was a little 4 or 5 minute episode bit we did that aired on KCRE, a commercial radio station that you all may be familiar with. We began creating our own student radio show, which at the time was only like 2 or 3 minutes long. That started with the help of Fernando Lira, Patrick Fulton, and Vice Principal Alex Merritt. And the Bruin News show, it was just Bruin News back then, was airing on KCRE. Until the day came that we were ready for airing on KCIW, and we got a full 30-minute time slot, which we continue to fill to the best of our ability. Having a full 30-minute show, very different from having a brief 2 or 3 minute show. It really changes what you're allowed to, or what you're able to bring into the show. I mean, I could put a whole lot more in a 30-minute show. Interviews, jokes, much more creative room there.
I imagine with a longer time slot, you may have to resort to desperate measures to fill that time slot, such as interviewing the own cast of the show.
Yeah, sometimes you're a little pressed for time, and especially if it's during a break. You might ask for a little clemency from your own staff members, but I guess they won't give you any, and they'll hassle you about.
Now, would you say you working at a high school shows some sort of immaturity or inability to function with other adults, having to resort to working with children, basically, of your own maturity level?
You know, working with young people is definitely a challenge. And anyone who has never taught high school before, it may be difficult to get standing in front of 30 young people in a room and teach as much of them as much as you can in the time frame that you've got. And working in a radio show with young people also has its challenges. Oh, boy. I mean, There's this guy. You got to keep their attention. You've got to get the take. They've got some real lame-o joke they want to trot out.
You're immature because you work with high
school. Yeah, he's got this long extended joke where he's kind of trying to insult you. And you just got to nod and smile. And you want to encourage their creativity. So, that's great. What a great joke. I value you as a young person.
And, of course, as a teacher, you have to work on not committing violence of any sort.
Yes, as a teacher, there are boundaries you don't want to cross.
Having been taught by you and knowing you for a while, I've learned that you try to keep yourself, your personal opinions when it comes to topics such as politics, relatively private or to yourself. How do you say that that affects you as a teacher and your students learning from you?
Well, there's a good reason for that. It's definitely strongly recommended against that teachers share their own personal opinions about political topics when it doesn't relate to educating students or educating young people. And one of the reasons why you might imagine that is because if a teacher shares an opinion that a student feels strongly about or strongly disagrees about, that can harm the reputation there. If a student thinks that a teacher's belief in a religion means that teacher is foolish or believes in something that's wrong, that student may be less likely to believe that teacher about the topic that they're teaching. Whether it's a math teacher or a language arts teacher, the student may think, well, why should I trust this teacher if they believe in this thing?
Would you also say that there is somewhat of a moral component to it as well, not teaching your opinion as fact?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, big time. Teachers have a position of authority. They're up there in that class because they have a license. They have a proof of that they know what they're talking about. And if they use that platform or misuse that platform and teach a student something else or share their opinion on something else, that can be a misuse of that platform that they're given, whether they're talking about religion or politics or anything like that. So a teacher has to be careful. A teacher has to be a professional. They have to follow the guidelines of their license and their school's policy. And it's also just good to maintain that professional relationship with your students. They're there to learn. They're not necessarily there to ham it up and tell jokes, although that can be a good way to have a positive relationship with your kids, and you can also teach through humor, which I try to do, but you've got to be careful about not sharing your opinions.
Well, thank you, Mr. Tittman, for showing up. Not like you really had a choice at all, because you're the one that has to edit this entire interview. Thank you anyways.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School, in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
I've got to say, Charles, I've been listening to this KCIW as of late, and I feel it's missing a little something.
Oh, and what could that be, Walter Victor Beauregard III?
Well, I feel KCIW it's missing a show that's truly high class, blue-blooded, and designed for the 1% of the 1%, like us, Charles.
Well, my dear Walter, why don't you make it?
Make what, Charles?
Make the show, Walter. KCIW not only accepts shows made by locals, it helps locals create these shows by connecting volunteers with different skill sets.
Volunteers? Good heavens, you mean these people are just regular people and aren't paid thousands upon thousands of dollars to be on the radio?
They're not paid £1, Walter. All money goes to the radio station and its operations.
Unthinkable. What about the manipulative corporate sponsorships and corrupting advertising money?
Any companies that donate are donating to a non-profit just to support a local community radio station. There's no manipulation or corruption involved.
My word, how remarkable, Charles.
Why, yes, Walter. That's the magic of Curry Coast Community Radio.
Hot dog! This is KCIWLP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM. Huh? Oh, boy!